Just found somewhere quiet. Just found somewhere quiet away from the traffic. I'm just a little bit away from Covent Garden in front of the Connaught Rooms, where there is a day-long meetup that's been organised by the Government Digital Service called Agile the Docs, which is all about Agile and using it in documentation. It's being recorded. I hope to get the recording of my bit and see if we can use it.
A tiny bit about me, and then this thing that Stella mentioned, Lean, what is it? How Lean can be used to view Agile and view technical writing, and then can we use it to come up with an Agile technical authoring methodology? Just about me, as well as being a co-owner of a technical writing company that has lots of authors for companies that have vacancies for technical authors. A very long time ago, in my business studies degree, I did a dissertation on manufacturing production systems with the absolute conviction that I'd never need to know or think about it again, when to my surprise, it actually became useful about 20 years later, in that it overlapped with some things that in Lean. And Agile, as Rob was saying, is problematic for technical communicators. I don't know if anyone saw this on Twitter last Thursday. This is Deloitte's one Agile in a slide presentation. You get Deloitte to come in and give you consultancy on Agile. They'll take you through all these different things. Now, somewhere in there is the kingdom of simplicity, but I can't quite remember it is. There's no mention at all of user documentation on there whatsoever. It's somewhere out beyond Zone 6 where the Oyster card doesn't work, but it's not mentioned whatsoever. And as Rob was saying, it gets forgotten. And in fact, again, restating what's been said, is that you get the situation of work changing on you, the functionality of the system changing as you're going through. You then have the issue of sizing the project. We're asked how long will it take to document a piece of software, and we ask how many screens or functions in the system. So, well, we don't know, because it's still being decided. We've got this issue of, as again it's been said, of documenting late to avoid waste and deferring commitment as much as possible. And there's no time. And it's a bit like, you know, being in quality control in the Trabant factory, where you can do a bit of bashing with a hammer here and there to make some last minute fixes. It's pretty much a hopeless task, or it feels like that in some ways. So Lean, what is it?
Here's an explanation. Using Lean production, it takes just 24 hours to transform the steel sheet into a brand new car. After it's pressed into doors, bonnets, and roofs, thousands of parts arrive at the line exactly when they're needed. This process, which avoids wasting space, money, and materials, is a principle of the Japanese philosophy called just in time.
Well, we're going to have a perfect illustration of a little bit of just in time, because this chap hits the rear bumper at that tailgate trip. He's got no bumpers left, and his next car is there behind him. There's a man working behind the scenes now, and he's getting some more bumpers, which are delivered just in time that you've never seen them before. You think, right, they've cocked that up.
And maybe they have, because Supervisor Ian's getting a bit nervous.
There it is. Yeah, it's here. It's always here. It's always handy when the parts come on the phone. Yeah.
Henry Ford made the same car with the same parts over and over again. Today, mass-produced cars are built to over a million customer specifications.
The black car's approaching. The first bumper on the new stack is the black one. That's brilliant, isn't it? We find out the customers are never happy when they've got a big problem with the car. They don't care about it. Go on, put a bumper car.
I've got a bumper in the moment, yeah.
So, does anyone use a Kanban board in their work? Kanban originally comes from a little bit of paper that we stuck on these bins here. And when they were empty, that was the trigger for the next batch of bumpers or whatever to come in. And essentially, lean is a way, or a process, I should say, of making things based on some ideas, partly based on ideas from Venice in the 14th century, but in truth, mainly about a Toyota production system which was developed in the 1950s. And today it's used in the NHS for streamlining what happens as patients come into a hospital. There's a lean form of programming, and in other areas. And it's related in many ways to Agile. And one of the questions I always had when I first came across Agile is, where does it come from? Where have these ideas come from? Have they just been sort of plucked out of the air? Was there a committee where they went round with a blank piece of paper? And the reality is that a lot of Agile's philosophies and ideas have actually been drawn from a number of places, but one of those places is from Lean itself. And Lean, in a nutshell, is the idea that you focus on maximising the value to customers and minimising waste wherever possible. And what is meant by waste? Well, in Lean, some say it's seven things, some say it's eight. One that's debated is sometimes in, sometimes isn't, is misused talent. And they're the things where you're doing stuff that isn't productive. But what I'll do is I'll just focus on the three original ways before it's broken down into seven or eight, which come from the Toyota production system and the Japanese names. And the first one is Muda, which is doing stuff that's not adding value to the user. You're spending time on stuff that the customer's never going to see. And that's one of the things that really Agile focuses on more than anything else. Let's defer writing to the end, because we don't want to write about stuff that doesn't get into the product at the end. But there are two other ways in the Toyota production system. And one is Muri, overburden, giving people too much work and too little time to do it in. And in that factory with James May there in Nissan, what they have is they have a cycle time of 90 seconds. And everything's done, designed, so somebody can complete the work in 90 seconds, then move on to the next thing, and on to the move on to the next thing, to try and avoid having people having too much work to do. And equally, and in some ways, in Agile, there is an attempt to deal with that by having Kanban rules, that you can't add extra tasks to a project before something else comes off at the other end. And the third one is Mura, or unevenness. This is waiting around. You've got time to write the documentation, and it isn't ready, and you're twiddling your thumbs. One analogy is going on a journey on a river. If the river was painted green, it might make sense in St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, but for the rest of the time, it adds no value to the person on the ferry going across. If you've got a waterfall and there's too much water, you're likely to crash in the boat, and equally, if there's no water or there's stones you've got to navigate around, it's an inefficient journey. So that's one of the ways of finding it. And so Lean is about a holistic approach of optimizing everything, not just the parts. So not just having a very, very efficient development team and creating chaos and inefficiencies before and after that actually happens. And what that leads to is looking at things in totality and having co-disciplined teams working together to try and make the whole process from beginning to end as efficient as possible. And the sorts of things that go on in doing Lean are a number of different methods and processes that are around. There's some very good books about doing Lean. This is one by a guy called Mark Eaton. And because they've come back from the 1950s, many of these are paper and pen activities that can be done very simply. One of the key ones is the idea of one-piece flow. Our intuition is that we should batch things up, do things in big batches, all in one go, and then pass them on to the next. And the research has shown, actually, it's much better to do things in little batches or singular batches, because you might spot a little pair of legs sticking out underneath that bus there. And this is AEC Southall, or Park Royal. Now, he's doing a chassis inspection, I presume it's the guy, if there were a mistake on all of those chassis all at the same time, then all of those would have to go back into the production line to be fixed. Whereas if it was one that came off and was inspected and it was a mistake, then you'd only have, you'd have fewer buses to fix and resolve at that particular time. Another idea, which again was briefly related to what Rob was saying, is the idea that you can work in a team and collaborate, and if there's a problem, everybody has the right to stop the production line and say, this isn't working, I can't do this, it's not fitting together. And the idea is that people can swarm around that problem to fix it. So again, like Rob was saying about, can the developers write the content? That's sort of related to this idea. But how can we use these ideas within technical writing? Well, probably the most effective way is to spot and identify where there is waste in the process of writing. And I mentioned, or been talking about Lean for a couple of years now, others have picked up from it. I wasn't the first, and others are talking about it as well. And we all know that, that there is situations when we're writing, when we're wasting time, particularly on sorting out formatting issues in printed documentation, but also particularly in reviews, and getting stuff reviewed, and coming back, and then getting reviewed again, or last minute changes to things in that way. And so the common, we can map these to the three areas that from the Toyota production system quite easily, content that's just not needed, we've got too much work and not enough time, and there's situations where we're delaying. And by quantifying where these wastes are, it can help us argue against the belief in Agile that the most important thing is that you're spending time on content that's not needed. If that leads to you spending more time on leading to having no time to do stuff and poor quality or delays, then the cost of those may outweigh the benefits of delaying to the last minute. And people are doing this, and this is actually, I discovered prior to this, this is actually a spreadsheet that Stella, who spoke this morning, asked Jamie to do in quantity, and I've taken out the data at the time and so forth, of going through a working week, what can we call working month?
Yeah.
A whole cycle, through the whole of the documentation cycle, and identifying when there were problems, how severe these problems were, and what type of those seven or eight wastes in Lean it was resulting in. And then Stella kindly sent me this graph. This was done by a team, people in her team, and then she could prioritise which were the most critical problems that everybody was facing. And these were, address these problems first, and these are less critical problems. So somebody with a manufacturing background like Stella is able to use the techniques from Lean into the world of technical writing. Now, you can't get rid of every waste, and one of the questions is documentation a waste? The criteria where you judge whether something's a waste or not in Lean is, will the client pay for it? And you could argue, yes, they would pay for manual, but you could argue maybe they wouldn't pay extra for a manual compared to a product that doesn't. You never get rid of every waste in a business because there are things like quality testing, which are called essential wastes. And whether a client would pay for a manual or not, you can argue that documentation is essential, has to be done, like testing has to be. Has anyone been involved with Lean so far? Done anything with Lean? Well, there must be two, because they're in the front. Anybody else? No one else, okay. And another waste you can have is the idea of processing waste. You can create a very, very efficient system, like it could be said of Ditto, but you actually get little value for the end user. You can have very efficient ways of creating dull content that users never use. And the analogy with Model T Ford was, by 1926, Model T Ford was made very, very efficiently, but nobody wanted it because it was an out-of-date car compared to what General Motors made. And you can look at Wes from a user perspective. Are you creating stuff they don't need? Is it too detailed? Are they waiting? But in some ways, you're just giving another way or another criteria to a usability testing. But it is possible to use Lean in that way as well. So how can we move to an agile methodology? How can we say to development teams, well, you've got an agile methodology for development, we've got an agile methodology for documentation, this is the way you work, this is the way we work, this is what you expect from us, this is what we expect from you. Because I think agile's been dumped on authors, it has those things like no documentation, which has been misinterpreted. The way in which I think the future needs to go is that there needs to be an agile methodology for documentation. There is actually an ISO standard for agile, for documenting in agile world, but nobody actually uses it. It's not necessarily, there's a close relationship to reality. And I think one of the key things is what's called load balancing, and that's getting rid of this overwork and underwork, and trying to even out the workload that comes through. Now one approach, again, what Rob was suggesting or questioning was, do you create a distinct sprint? So, and Andrew was talking about this in the way that you do it. Do you set up the work so that it's even out and you don't get this last minute doing everything at the deadline? What they do in the Toyota factory and elsewhere is they actually have subcontractors working in the factories and having long-term partners. And potentially you can use technical writing companies as an extra resource to bring in to deal with the peaks and flows where they happen. And that's one potential way of doing things. The difficulty, again, that Rob's pointed out, was if we're using tools that no one's ever familiar with, if you give a developer flair and say, right, can you just add a couple of topics to us, they're going to run away screaming because they are specialist tools. But that doesn't mean that, you know, developers have no responsibility whatsoever for documentation. So what's happening in the States, more from what I've seen, is a move to making it easier for developers to collaborate and provide some content. And there was a Write the Docs presentation by Ronan McNamara, I don't know if anyone's seen it on video, where Google have changed some of the tool sets that they're using for documentation, so they're actually using the same tools that developers are using. So they have a familiar authoring environment, a familiar release and approval processes and task activities as they would for that. And what you can do is then set up templates, a bit like with Dapper Docs, set up a skeleton document to help them go in and fill in certain sections to provide some extra resource for you, for them. And that's a lot easier if you're using tools like Markdown. Going back to the question about Flair, Flair is the answer to shoot is very good tool, it depends. One thing you can do with Flair, in addition to what was mentioned, is you can integrate it with Git and Mercurial and Tortoise, so you can upload topics to those, and then somebody else can work on it and check them in and check them out. So that's another potential way of using it. And what's happening in the States is a movement or trend that's given the name of Documentations Code, and if anyone's heard of this, coined, I think, by Anne Gentle, who's got a website now called Documentation as Code or Documents as Code. And other presentations I've seen, that is a trend. Robert Hayes, I saw present. Render is a subsidiary of eBay. And what he does, or the way he positions his team, is that they are developers. You've got developers of code and you've got developers of content. And I think GDS has content developers as one of the job titles as well. And again, using the same tools for creating actions and adding tasks to Kanban board and interrelating the topics with the code. So for every time that there's a new feature or activity on the developer's Kanban board or user story, creating an equivalent help topic as an action on the tech authoring development board and matching the two by having the numbers there. Now in Robert's case, they use heat tracks within the same site, within the same sprint. But potentially you could still have work a sprint behind, but relate every topic back to the activities that are happening within the code themselves. And equally, if you've got a review, you can use the same terminology for concluding calibrations and defects as well. Does anyone do that at the moment? In terms of deliverables, another trend that's coming through is, like we have minimal viable product, you can have minimal viable documentation. Just enough documentation maybe to get the early adopters working, and then at a later sprint catch up with the other people that come on board with your application. And this has actually happened before in that we've had an iterative approach. In cooking, it's called service à la russe. We used to get food delivered as it was ready. If you go to Wagamama's and order some food, they give it to you as it's cooked, not all in one serving and a second serving. And if that sounds, the idea of incremental release, it sounds a little bit odd, it has actually been the case and happened before. Charles Dickens wrote a number of books, and you get them chapter by chapter, published in the magazines. And Arthur Conan Doyle published the Sherlock Holmes stories chapter by chapter. So the idea is we would optimise the whole, and we would look to create a content system that works across the company for the documentation for end users, but perhaps also for other types of documentation that's there within the business as well. And I would argue that Lean is a very good way of trying to position user assistance or documentation within the Agile environment to make people aware of the consequences of documenting late and where that might cause costs and waste elsewhere within the process. Both Agile and Lean make problems visible. That means, and the intention is they don't have to be resolved there and then. It can make, if you don't resolve those problems, then it does cause stresses and strains. You do need a commitment to, when you recognise a problem, go away and fix it. There, did I make it in time? Good. So we can have lunch at a decent time. How much time have we got for questions?
Short notes on that. I think that even if you're not doing software documentation, you might want to look at doing documentation as code, because there's certain processes, like what you were talking about, the tools, that just make a lot of sense if you need to do it like chunked content. Yeah. Okay, so, but if you're in software, but if you're not in software, I don't know if anybody is not in software, but if you're not in software, there's also a use, I think.
Reflections on the day. It was really good. It was really good. Some very good speakers. Who did I like? I liked Rob Woodgate. He did a presentation on when should you do the documentation in an agile environment. Should you aim to write it at the same time as the sprint, when the development work is being done, so the documentation is shipped when the product is shipped, or do you work a sprint behind in order to have enough information to do the work? Pros and cons for different ways to doing it. Very good presentation. Really like that. And Stella Crowhurst and Jamie from WorldPay. We've had some involvement with WorldPay, so it was really interesting to see the detail of the strategy and how they've done things there. And also because Stella, who manages the team there, has come from a background outside of documentation, has come from a production background, experience of using Lean and other agile techniques and applying them within that documentation environment. Really interesting to see how an outside view has looked at the documentation process and applied these types of principles and applied them and got them to work really well. So it's cold. It's December, dark December 2016. I'm sure this whole exercise, this whole issue is just going to continue into the future as Agile becomes more popular and documentation teams have to meet the challenge of fitting in or modifying Agile so that it can work with the documentation as well as the code. Pronovix, the people that helped run the event in conjunction with the Government Digital Service, have recorded the presentations, recorded them as videos. So, again, if we make use of this recording, I'll add notes to where those videos are.